Blog Talk Radio.
Taught me that love and time will change your mind, make it right, bring your darkness to the light. My heart to you in the night, my love I bring to you.
Bye.
right? All right. My name is Yomsuf Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People show. A show designed to give you a bird's eye view about Yah and that relationship with Him. And it's all about relationship, people. All about relationships. How to work within the guidelines and perimeters of that relationship under the codification and the contract. Rather, that contract is the contingencies within that contract. When you were in the land and when you were out of the land in prisons, captivities, there are contingencies. But you have to study these in order to find out these things. Cottrell and I, my brother and dear friend from New York City, we try to understand these contingency plans in that relationship. And we try to share that with you also. And that would apply to the relationship with one another, seeing that we don't know how to treat one another. And the evidence is crystal clear, and it doesn't lie. Just look at our communities, universally speaking, we don't know how to treat one another. We lie, steal, cheat, kill, rape, rob, pillage, cheat, and so on and so forth. That is not within the framework and guidelines of that relationship with the Creator. It is not within the framework and guidelines and association with one another. And that would apply to strangers too. We are told that we should treat strangers in our land the way we treat one another. It's true. But before I get started in my study, you know, we're going on to the book of Isaiah after 2 Chronicles have been completed. That means we went through all the chapters. But before I do that, I would like to reclaim the rainbow. There are some using the rainbow to indicate their sexual orientation. And they're walking around with it on a flag. The rainbow is now for usage to indicate your sexual orientation. I reclaim that flag for Yah. That flag was used as a sign that promised that the Most High would never again destroy the earth by flood. There's flood regionally, but universally speaking, a worldwide flood, the Most High promised, and that flag was given for that reason, and that reason alone, and not for your sexual orientation. I know that the alphabet boys and girls don't like Cottrell L and I, so I'm giving you good reason not to like us, because I'm reclaiming that flag for Yah. That's not your flag. It was not given to indicate your sexual orientation. How you like them apples? My name is Yomsuf Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People show. And it's all about relationships. So I want to say something in regards to two issues. I support a family in Madagascar. And it seems that they're suffering quite bad in Madagascar. They're suffering real bad in Madagascar. There is a climate change, no fault of their own, and they are having to eat cactus leaves and insects. So if you can help by virtue of prayer, or either by virtue of association, as I said, I have a family in Madagascar, and I try to do the best I can. And you could do it yourself. And it doesn't cost very much to show some love. Our brothers and sisters in Madagascar. Won't you find an opportunity to exercise your relationship with us? We're supposed to take care of one another in dire straits, and certainly in this case, for those in Madagascar, we are in dire straits. So as I said, it's no fault of their own. As a matter of fact, it's a poor country anyway. And so anytime you have a situation where it may cause about a climate. But actually, let's be honest, man. Yah, control. You have this no fault of their own. They need a little love and a little help. And if you can, find a family, sponsor that family. And go on Foodsbook. I mean, you're doing a whole lot of foolish things on Foodsbook. Won't you do something constructive and positive on Facebook. And find a family, sponsor that family. Like I said, it didn't cost you very much. I mean, a dollar over here is seven times the value over there, okay? So show some love. Don't talk about it. Be about it. And also those in Haiti are still suffering. If you can find a family in Haiti that needs a little love. I mean, Madagascar, Haiti, wherever we're at, it don't matter, universally speaking. They're still part of us. And if we can help by virtue of prayer and a little twos and twos, why not? That's all I'm saying. So we're going to get right into study. But before I do that, let me bring my dear brother and friend on. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless us. Yom Tov Ari. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, my brother and friend. May it bless you and your family also.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Anytime, brother. Anytime.
No doubt. All systems go tonight, huh? Sounding good.
Yeah, you know, Abby, I was telling me something. I was thinking that I was talking to her momentarily. And perhaps I'll bring her on right after I said what I'm going to say. And she, I think she needs to share this information with you also. And I was just talking to her, and you know, she wouldn't even privy to what I was thinking. I said, I'm gonna have to reclaim the flag for Yah, you know, and be crystal clear about the rainbow. That's not for somebody's sexual orientation. And I need to reclaim that flag and those colors. I mean, pick any color they want to pick. If they want to pick a color, why do you got to take the whole rainbow? I mean, that rainbow wasn't meant for that. And that's kind of ludicrous anyway. So let me bring her on, and she can share with you what she shared with me. And you two fellow students. Abiyah, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, Sister Abiyah. May the Most High bless you.
Shalom, brothers. May the Most High bless you, Yom Tov Ari, and Brother Cartrell and your family. Now, I was just telling Yom Tov that I was amazed at a dream that I had, because it was the same exact dream I had before that I spoke to you about, that a beautiful cloud had came down on me with the rainbow colors in it. And then the cloud was lifted up off me and placed in my hand, and I folded the cloud up and put it in my pocket, and I was told to show it to Brother Yom Tov Ari and to you, Brother Cartier. So I was just telling him it's very rare that I dream, period. And then for me to dream the same exact dream again, and it had the three fours in it, it was the same exact dream. So I was just amazed by it.
And it led me to believe, Katya, we've been, I think all of us have been pretty closed mouth, this nation, about that flag and the rainbow. And we need to be much more verbal about things that apply to Yah, and somebody take it and utilize it for their own personal interests and whatnot. And we need to make it crystal clear the meaning of that rainbow. And so for future reference on the Real Talk for Real People show, every now and then, Katya and I, we'll be discussing the importance and significance of that rainbow in our relationship with the Creator. Not only our relationship as Hebrew Israelites, but the world relationship with Yah.
I find it amazing that Sister Abiyah said that she rarely dreams, and that's like me. I rarely dream.
Me too,
if I dream, it ain't in color. She dreamt in color.
Right. Yes.
A lot of people don't dream in colors.
I saw the beautiful colors of that rainbow in there. And you know what? Man, think about it, Concept. I'm thinking, like, maybe it's telling me that our nation of people are of many different skin hues, just like we were thinking about before.
Well, so, we've been studying about the covenant and contracts. That's been an emphasis of what Yom Tov been talking about. And a rainbow was one of the first covenants that Yah made with the earth and man and all living, because he said it grieved me that he made man, because man is evil from his youth. So he had to destroy the earth. He said, I'm going to put a rainbow in the sky, like Yam Su said, because I'm not going to destroy the earth with the flood again. So we know that archaeologists tell a story that most every nation on earth has a flood story. So we know that the flood was real. It's not mythology. And the fact that Noah had sons, and we know who his descendants are based on the nations that, you know, they come from. They trace their nationhood back to Noah's sons. We know that there was a flood, and Noah was a mythology. But the fact that the covenant, I mean, the rainbow is a covenant contract with us and the Most High, not just with Israel, but all living. And they perverted it. They corrupted it as a symbol, which is what they do to everything that Yah, you know, makes holy.
Yeah.
Yah makes holy.
Yes, indeed they do. Okay, brothers, thank you, and carry on. I'm ready to get the word some more of it.
Well, I'm going to let Katria, thank you, Abia. And, you know, funny thing about that, Katria, before Abia went, I just brought up the conversation. I was led to bring up the conversation. I just brought up the conversation, and Abia comes behind me and said, Sue, I had this dream, this vivid dream. And I said, well, look here, it must have some meaning and impact. So that's why I had to reclaim the rainbow for Yah.
No doubt.
Hallelujah.
Good. Thank you, Abia.
And Abia, then she put that covenant in her pocket. I mean, she's locked in.
Yep. She locked in. And that's a beautiful thing. She's locked in. And stay locked in, Abia. Stay locked in by your studies. Your application of studies that we try to share on the Real Talk for Real People show. We don't hide it from anybody on the Real Talk for Real People show. We put it out there. We share with everyone because we want everybody to have the very same thing. And I said, Katria, also that title, I don't have a title. I don't want one, and I need one. And I don't care about no stinking title. The only title I got, if anybody want to apply a title to me, is a spokesperson of the truth, which is the Almighty Yah. That's the only title that you can subscribe to me. He's a spokesperson for Yah. I don't need no other title, okay? Go ahead, Katria.
You got a title, old man. You're an elder, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Anyway.
Now, I accept that one.
Ezra is the book that we're going to. It's not Isaiah. Isaiah's coming, but we're going to go into Ezra after the Book of Chronicles. Because he's lined up after that. But also, you mentioned Madagascar, Haiti.
Right.
I'd like to mention Chad.
Okay.
The leader of Chad died. I don't know how, but a lot of leaders in third world countries, namely people of color, Ham and Shem, seem to be dying all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So I pray to go out to the people of Chad.
Yeah.
The people of Haiti and the people of Madagascar.
Exactly. It's kind of strange, isn't it? I mean, these leaders assassinated and they're dying everywhere, as you said.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes our prayers are stronger than money.
Exactly. Exactly. Ezra. So, as Katria indicated, we're going to Ezra. Okay. Nick, so put that in your notations. If you study with it, if you begin your studies with us, we're doing a do-over. And so be prepared to be intensified much more, give you a familiarization in our first study session. Now we're going to buckle down and we're going to just delve into these studies a little bit more deeper, okay? So the first time around was familiarization. Now this time around is much more detailed and in-depth. So be prepared to put your study caps on, okay? The Book of
Take
Ezra.
Note.
Take
Write
notes.
Questions down.
And ask questions. We don't mind. After we get through speaking, I get through saying what I'm saying. Cottrell makes a commentary. If you got something to say, you got a note, hit that button. We'll be prepared to answer. If we can't, we'll get back to you on that. Okay? All right. Katria, you still coming? If you still coming, I'm on hold.
No, I'm pretty much done.
Okay. Thank you, Katria.
Yes,
fellow students, if you will you go to chapter 24 of Second Chronicles? Okay. Let me find my bifocals. May the Most High bless us in these familiarization studies. And maybe learn to apply it. Okay? Now, here's what we find out. Cartier had mentioned it yesterday in chapter 23, that the little king was only 7 years old. His name was Jehoshaphat. He was only 7 years old when he became king, and he was still king for all intents and purposes. And he reigned in Jerusalem for 40 years. His mother's name was Zibiah of Bathsheba. All of the days of the priest of Jehoiada, Josiah did, because they trained him. They trained him properly. Not only did they train him properly, they told him, hey, once we get through training, now you know the rules. You got to study on your own. You can't take none of this for granted, okay? So being a little boy, he was very impressionable, but he was very impressionable for the right thing. You had right men in place, this high priest, the leaders of the Levites, the elders. There were men and women in place to help influence his thinking. And as we can see universally, if there's no one in place to help influence our thinking in the right way, young folk tend to go astray. But this is what they're saying to me. But if you're young, very impressionable, you have the right team in place to help point you in the right direction, what is that saying? Bring up a child in the way, and he won't depart. Sure, he'll make mistakes. Sure, he'll fall on his behind sometimes. That goes without saying, but nevertheless, at the end of the day, he'll always come back to his studies. And that's why we do what we do on the Real Talk for Real People show, because this, we know, is essential to developing one's character and bringing one into the fold of the relationship we are and understanding the dynamics of that relationship, how important to maintain that relationship we are. Once if just as Abby, I guess, she got a pocket of rainbows in her pocket. But I can assure you that what I know of Abigail, in the case of her, she's not about to neglect her studies, okay? And we suggest you do what Abigail does. Don't neglect your studies. I don't care what time it is. I don't care if you're laying up in the midnight hour. I don't care if you're laying up in your bed meditating. I don't care if COVID-19 knock on your door. Do not neglect your studies, okay? Therein lies the antidote. And this young fellow, obviously, Joash, was influenced by his studies, influenced by the high priest, influenced by the leaders that led him in the right direction. And as a result, he ruled for 40 years. And he even spoke about his mama. His mama, obviously, was a woman of good character to allow her son to be trained up in the proper manner. She wasn't one of those ghetto fabulous mamas that runs up to the school and cusses out the teachers and want to fight the students and want to shoot the principal. No, this was a proper mama. She know he needed proper training, that she couldn't give to him. These leaders could give him the proper training, bring him up in the confines and the covenant and the codification of the relationship with Yah and with each other and with the nation. He must maintain a constructive relationship with Yah. He must maintain a constructive relationship with the nation. He must maintain a constructive relationship with the high priests and the Levites in the temple and the elders and the princesses of the tribe. Relationships are important, people. And this young fellow, very indicative of that fact. All the days of the priest, you are dying.
So, go ahead.
I'm sorry, bro. Go ahead.
The mold was already set.
Exactly.
It was set by Yah, given to Moses, the prophet.
Exactly.
And then given to King David.
Exactly.
So he didn't have to reinvent anything. And
nope.
We read yesterday that these men made an oath to uphold the covenant that they had made with Yah from ancient times. It was their turn to make that covenant. They took out Athaliah, who was bringing the idol worship into Judah, and they cleaned that up and said, we're going to bring it back to the way it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to be aligned with Yah. The king's supposed to be aligned with Yah. The priest's supposed to be aligned with Yah. And the people are supposed to be aligned with Yah. So it wasn't about any individual. It wasn't about the king himself. It wasn't about the priest, Jehoiada, you know, himself. It was about everybody. Everybody had to be in line and in tune and in sync with the codes that the Most High gave them. And unfortunately here, we see that Jehoiada is getting older, and he's losing a little of the zest and influence on his king.
Right.
And I'm not going to jump ahead of the story, but he tried to set the nation of Judah on the right track with this young king.
Exactly.
You're going to see that he selected wives, proper wives for him, so mm-hmm. he could have sons and daughters to continue the line of King David.
And very, very, very dedicated wives, very influential, because you pick a bad a husband or wife, you got problems. You got problems if you want to be in a constructive relationship with Yah, you got problems. If you want
so
to be
the system is designed. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Give us checks and balances.
Mm-hmm.
The priest checked the king. The king had to be kept in check. The king had, you know, a certain amount of powers, and certain decisions he made affected everybody. So the prophets had to keep them balanced, and the priests had to keep them balanced.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Thank you, Gautrell. And all the days of the priest, the high priest Jehoiada, King Joahaz, did what was pleasing to the Elohim. Now, as Gautrell mentioned, Jehoiada, the high priest, picked his wives, took two wives for him, by whom he had sons and daughters. He didn't need a whole lot of women. I guess Jehoiada knew from his study of King Solomon, too many women, too many problems. So he picked two wives for him. Now, he could have had many as he wanted to, but Jehoiada said, well, no, he's the king. Let me give him two wives. He don't need them. He can't have all the sex in the world. He don't even focus on sex all the time. Okay? He got a whole lot of things to be doing and trying to sex somebody up. Okay? So he need to focus on running this country and have a relationship with Yah and a relationship with the high priest and the Levites and a relationship with the people. So this is a balance. Two wives. Two constructive wives.
While having children at the same time.
Exactly.
You had to have children.
Exactly. Afterward, King Joash decided to renovate the house of the Elohim. He assembled the priests and the Levites and charged them as follows. Go out to the towns of Yehuda and collect money from all Israel for the annual, this is supposed to be done annually, for the repair of the house of your Elohim. Do it quickly. But the Levites did not act quickly as the king wanted him to do. The king summoned the high priest Jehoiada. The prince and said, the high priest, and said to him, why have you not seen to it that the Levites brought the tax imposed by Moses, the servant of Yah, and the congregation of Israel from Yehuda and Jerusalem to the tenth of the contract for the children of the wicked at Atiah had violated the house of Yah and used the sacred things of the house of the Elohim for Baal. They filtered this place. The king ordered that a chest be made and placed on the outside of the gate of the house of the Elohim. He said, okay, I got a remedy for that. I don't know why you ain't did what I told you to do, but I got a remedy for it. Have a chest made and placed on the outside of the gate of the house of the Elohim. A proclamation was issued in Yehuda in Jerusalem to bring the tax imposed on Israel in the wilderness by Moses. Moses instituted this. The servants of Yah the servant of Yah. All the officers and all the people gladly bought it and threw it into the chest till it was full. Whenever the chest was brought to the royal officers by the Levites, they saw that it contained much money. And the royal scribe and the agent of the high priest came and emptied out the chest and carried it back to its place, put it back so people could continue giving their donations.
That's that first tithe basket.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. They did this day by day, and much money was collected. The king and the high priest Jehoiada delivered the money to those who oversaw the task, specific task, connected with the work of the house of the Elohim. They hired masons and carpenters to renovate the house of Yah, as well as craftsmen in iron and bronze to repair the house of the Elohim. The overseer did their work. Under them, the work went well, and they restored the house of Yah to its original form and repaired it. When he finished, they brought the money that was left over to the king and the high priest Jehoiada. It was made into utensils for the house of Yah: buckets, ladles, gold and silver vessels. Burnt offerings were offered up regularly to the house of the Elohim all the days of the high priest Jehoiada. The high priest Jehoiada reached the ripe old age and died. Man, that is a ripe old age, 130 years old. I guess the Most High blessed him to live that ripe old age, because he did the right thing. He had a good relationship with Yah, and in effect, having a good relationship with Yah, he instructed the young king, 7 years old, how to be king. So in heaven, for 40 something years. And in heaven, in a relationship with Yah, hey, he was old. He was old even before he was old. Even before he started teaching the king. He's an old fella then. I guess he was roughly around by Cartrell in my age before he started teaching the king.
No, he was older than that.
You think so? Okay. But he was older than that.
He was 130 when he died.
Okay.
And the king reigned 40 years. You do the math. I mean, he was like 90.
Yeah, he was an old fella. But look here. Here's what it goes to show you. Age ain't nothing but a number when it comes to Yah. You still, as long as your facilities, all your facilities are in place, your mental facilities, you should always follow within the confines of that contract and follow the antidotes within that contract. Obviously, as this high priest obviously did, and he was blessed as a result, I assume, because of the fact the Most High allowed him to live such a long time, a ripe old age of 130 years. He had a constructive relationship with God. They buried him in the city of King Dawood together. They buried him with the kings. How many times have y'all, we've read this in our studies? The high priest was buried with the kings. And it shows you how well they thought of him. How well they thought of this high priest to bury him with the king.
High priest was anointed.
Right.
And there were some kings that were not buried with the king.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, it's true. But it shows you the relationship, obviously, that the high priest had with the Most High, a constructive relationship. And as Cartrell indicated, some kings were even buried with the king. We know about one that had the stomach falling out of his rectum. And because of his not having a constructive relationship with Yah and doing everything wrong and double downing on all his wrong, he wouldn't even bury it with the kings. But obviously, the high priest Jehoiada, and he had an influence upon the young king. The young king obviously must have loved him and had great respect for him because of being taught properly, the proper way. And he loved him. And
so,
it's obvious.
So,
yeah, go ahead, Katrina. Yeah, go ahead.
We can see that our kings, at least the kings of Judah, were buried in a certain area, right?
Exactly.
I'm so glad archaeologists have not found it. And if they found it, they're leaving it alone, unlike the kings of Egypt.
Exactly. I'm glad too, Katria. And I had, because, you know, you digging up people's graves.
Come on, man.
You digging up people's graves and taking an artifact and you talking about that scientific? What the hell? How would you like me to go in your family burial site and dig up your folks?
Listen, these people ain't got no morals, no integrity,
yeah.
And they probably wouldn't mind it because
right.
That's in the name of science. Because that's what they do. When we die, we're gonna leave our eyeball. You're going to leave our heart to science. Really? Okay. Go ahead. You're going to leave your brain to science.
I ain't down with that. Leave me alone.
For real.
Don't be digging me up, putting me up. That's Yom Sufari. He was on a Real Talk for Real People show with Cartel. They talked about the Most High. No, leave me alone. I don't need to be on no display for nothing, okay? Leave me alone. Just like Samuel the prophet when he told King Saul, what you calling me for? What you bothering me for? All right. You know better. You done broke the contract. All right. You done destroyed your relationship with the great, great I am. It's going to cost you. You and your boy going to be with me. All right. You know better what you doing. I saw that.
They don't talk too much about this king burial site, wherever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I am so glad they have not found it.
No, they don't talk about it, Katria. They don't talk about it in any shape, form, or fashion. I'm glad they don't, and I'm glad the Most High has kept our king's burial site hidden from them, okay? Just like he kept that Ark of the Covenant hidden from their eyes.
Exactly.
I'm glad. Yeah, I'm glad he kept that Ark of the Covenant hidden from them, just like he kept the sites of our king buried. Because, man, it would be breaking Negroes. Yeah. I think this King Saul right here, and I think this King Dawood right here, and I think this King Joash, and I think this the High Priest Joash. Man, come on, man. You don't take all that. What is
they
the
do have? They do have the burial site of King David on display. I hope you know that.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How did they find out King Dawood's burial site?
Google it.
How they know it's the king's burial site?
Well, I guess there's certain artifacts that.
Oh, okay.
Speak to the fact that it's King David and his tomb.
Okay, hold on. Hold that thought for a minute. Okay.
As a matter of fact, they knew the burial site of Abraham. They was going to make it a tourist attraction.
King Dawood's burial site. Okay. King David's burial site.
Mount Zion. According to Wikipedia, it is located on Mount Zion in Jerusalem, near the early 20th century Abbey of the Dormition.
Hmm. All right. It says on Mount Zion. Okay.
So that ain't no mythical place, is it?
No. But it don't seem they found the rest of the kings, though.
No. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. All right. Let's continue on, yeah? He reached the ripe old age, the high priest, and died. He was 130 years old at his death. They buried him in the city of King Dawood together with the kings because... What did I say? He had a good relationship in Israel. He had done good in Israel. And on behalf of Yah and his house, and his on behalf of Yah and his own family, this man was a good man. He had a constructive relationship. He had done good in Israel. He had a good relationship with Israel. And on behalf of Yah, he had a good relationship with Yah, and even within the confines of his family. But after the death of King, the high priest Jehoiada, the officials of Yehuda came, bowing low to the king, and the king listened to them. they had influenced the king. They forsook the house of Yah, Elohim of their father, to save the sacred posts and idols. And there was wrath upon Yehuda and Jerusalem because of this gift of theirs. They wanted to, they wanted their own religions. They wanted a church on every corner. And Yah sent prophets among them to bring them back to him. He tried to bring them back to him. And they admonished him, just like Cottrell and I do on the Real Talk for Real People show. But they would not pay heed, just like they don't do us on the Real Talk for Real People show. They would not pay heed.
So Yamsu.
Yes.
You got to realize the dynamics, right?
Uh-huh.
Because the high priest Yehoiada was like a Malcolm X. He's like a exactly. Dr. Martin Luther King.
Right.
And once he's gone, wow, who do the people turn to now? So now they turn into their own understanding. People are trying to step up in the prophet Yehoiada, the priest Yehoiada's place, and they don't have the same power or voice that he had. So now we're not listening.
But, you know, there was no call for them to do what they did, country.
No, not at all.
Only thing they had to do was follow the blueprint, just like the high priest did. But no, they wanted to be something special. They wanted titles. They wanted.
As soon as the brother died, soon as Jehovah died, you're gonna go left, because the course was already set in motion. He set the king up. He set the priests up. He set the leaders up to do what's right and pleasing in Yah's eyesight. Now here y'all come after he dies, and you're gonna turn it left.
So that's
with
why.
The king. Like, you know, the king is young, and he's impressionable.
Right. Well, that's why Cartier and I don't take it personally. Because we know how some of our people are in this nation. We don't take it personal. We know how our people are. Why do we know how our people are? Because we study our people. Okay? We study what they do when it's the right thing to do, and what they do when it's the right thing to do and they choose to do the wrong thing. And there are people in our nation that does that. And that's just the way it is. And they pay the consequences for that. They don't get away from it. But they pay a price for that. And the Most High left these studies to show you that. I mean, you had this well-laid plan laid out right before you. You had no problems. But no, you wanted to be something special. You wanted to lead to your own understanding. You wanted to showboat. You wanted to show up, show out, and showboat. You wanted a church on every corner. What is it going to cost you?
And listen, now, so let me tell you.
Uh-huh.
Our enemies and other nations know us better than we know ourselves.
Because they study us.
Better than we study ourselves. That's embarrassing. How somebody studying you and they know you better than you know yourself. So they know our weaknesses, they know our tendencies, and they milk that and they take advantage of it. And we try to figure out why are we in a loop, why are we in the trap? Because you don't know your own weaknesses. You don't know yourself. And you don't know how to make changes in yourself. So that's why we're in a dilemma that we're in.
Well, Cartier, the only thing that our enemy does, he, as you said, and I have to concur with you, that he studies us. He burns the midnight oil, so that, because one thing, he studies the blueprint, which is his word. Then he makes the juxtaposition of like putting a clear thing right over something and seeing how it works out and say, yep, that's what they're doing. Yep, that's how they respond. Yep, that's the consequences. Keep them off balance.
And I'm going to show you how deep it is.
Because
you mentioned the rainbow flag, right?
Exactly.
They study us so much, know who we are, they can make us parade around with that rainbow flag when we should know better, right?
And something Most High. That's one of the greatest insults, I suspect, to the Most High.
They make us insult our own creator.
Right.
How did our enemies reach the level of being able to make us go against our own power?
Because they study us far better than we know ourselves.
Exactly.
Okay. And if we get them to do that, by golly, we can get them to do anything.
And by golly, we succeeded.
They certainly have, Kaji, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately. Okay. Yah said prophets. He loved us. He loved us. Among them to bring them back to him.
Uh-oh.
They used them. But they would not pay heed. Then the spirit of Yah.
They beat the prophets up, didn't they?
Man, they did more than that to them. Okay?
Yeah.
And if they get a hold of me, you and me, they'd beat the brakes off us.
Oh, no doubt.
Then the spirit of Yah enveloped Zechariah, son of Joadiah. Now his son, the son of the high priest, Yah enveloped him. And he stood above the people and said to them, thus Yah said, why do you transgress the commandments of Yah when you cannot succeed? You ain't going to win since you have forsaken the Elohim. Since you walked away from him, he going to walk away from you. And they know that. That's why they got you following the flag with some sexual orientation. Well, they ain't got nothing to do with no sexual orientations. They conspired against him. And what did they do to him? This man who
they
loved
shot
him
with AK-47s.
If they had him, they would.
Oh, yeah.
Because a stone is a killing back then. That's a killing mechanism. You stone people to death. They pelted him with stones in the court of the house of the Elohim. By order of the king.
Who?
By order of the king.
What just happened there?
they didn't turn the king out, Cottrell.
Wow.
See, anybody can turn out anybody. If they ain't into their studies, if they don't love the Most High, and they don't have a steadfast spirit, Cottrell, it just goes to show you, anybody can turn out anybody. They didn't turn out the king. The king
it also tells you,
yeah,
how strong the spirit of the high priest Yehoiada was.
Exactly.
And when he died, that elder at 130, something died in King Yoash.
Man, something certainly died, Joshua. I mean, how can you, this man you love this high priest. And that's
he
his son.
From 7 years old.
And that's his son? That's the high priest's son whom you love, that you buried with the bodies of the kings, yet you tell, stone him. The son.
The man who taught you, you killed his
right.
son.
His son.
And he was saying the same thing his father was saying, wasn't he?
Exactly. By order of the king, King Joash disregarded the loyalty that his father, Joadiah, had shown to him and killed his son.
Ooh.
As he was dying, he said, now here's what the son said. See, y'all ain't got to pick up no AK-47. Y'all ain't got to even pick up a slingshot. Here's what the son tell him as he's dying. May the Elohim see what's going on, which we all know he all encompasses. He see it in it. It would quit you, give you some karma, give you some payback. Reap what
you sound like
saw.
Malcolm X when he got shot.
Man,
you may get stoned.
Bruh.
Yeah. He's like, yo, y'all going to get you.
Well, Cadre, he didn't go. See, this high priest. Son Zechariah didn't get on the national news. Said, you know, they killed me, and I'd like to forgive them, and please forgive them, you know, and thank you, Jesus. And I'd like to forgive. No, he didn't do that. Okay.
Not only did he do that, but he showed that he didn't fear death at all.
And he said, "May y'all see what you did, and you reap what you sow."
Exactly.
And that's a good thing to tell your enemy, country.
He He could have been saying, why? Why did you kill me? I didn't do anything. I tried to tell you the truth. You hit me upside my head with rocks and stones for no reason. I didn't offend you. I didn't. No. He's like,
this guy was hardcore, bro. This guy was hardcore, y'all. Okay? He was hardcore, y'all. I can feel myself. I'm broke up, man. They broke bones and whatnot. I'm hurt and whatnot. But may y'all see what you do and see what you did.
And you can feel the anger in his voice because he knows that his father trained this king. And now he's going to kill me when I'm doing the same work as my father?
Yeah, I'm saying the same thing my daddy told you. And you'd have told, and just like Cottrell said, if it was AK-47 back then, they'd have blasted. They'd have blasted with AK-47.
That's what they did to the brother in Haiti, right?
Exactly. Would have blasted. All right. At the turn of the year, the army of the Syrians, Aram, marched against him. See, he finna reap what he sowed. They invaded Yehuda and Jerusalem and wiped out all the officers of the people from among the people and sent all the booty they took to the king of Damascus. The invading army of Syria, Aram, had come with but a few men, just a few men. But Yah delivered a large army into his hand. He reaped what he sowed. Because why? They had forsaken Yah, Elohim of their fathers. They inflicted punishment. They inflicted punishment on King Joash. Then they withdrew, having left him with many wounds. His courtiers plotted against him. See, they turned him out. What is that song? You turn me on to turn me out. You dropped a bomb on me. Now they turned the king on. Now he's going to drop a bomb on him. They plotted against him because of the murder of the sons of Jehoiada. These very folks that turned him out, now they want to blame him for what they were participants in, of the murder of Zechariah. And they killed him in his bed. He reaped what he sowed. He died and was buried in the city of King David. He was not buried in the tombs of the kings.
Well, what?
He was not buried in the tombs of the kings. These were the men who had conspired against him. Zabda, son of Mah, the Ammonites, Ammonites, Jehozabad, son of Zereth, the Moabitess. See, you got his cousins. Our cousins always lurking around, trying to get in where they fit in, trying to cause problems so they can get at you. And as to him, and as to his sons, and a many pronouncement against him, and his rebuilding of the house of Yah, they are recorded in the story of the books of the kings. His son Amasa succeeded him as king. Man, I tell you what, Cottrell. What did that song say? You turn me on to turn me out. You dropped a bomb on me. Yeah, they certainly did. They turned him out. And then they got at him. As if he was the cause. But you turned him out. Then you accused him because you were a participant in the very activities of killing Zechariah, which you were participants in. As I said, our cousins, bruh, they always lurking around. And they still lurking around. It turns some of us out. Okay? Go ahead, Katriel.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he went left after King Yehoshadet set everything in order.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, the influences of other nations, other people, the Ammonites and the Moabites, were up in the mix because these are the marriages that they took on. Mm-hmm. And these women caused these brothers to build idols for the Baals. And after they made that oath, you know, in yesterday's chapter,
mm-hmm.
they strayed from that. And you would figure that the king, Joash, after 40 years, would know better. But it shows you, even after 40 years of him doing right, pleasing in Yah's eyesight, he was influenced to turn left. I don't know how you do that.
Well, Contra, you know, we read in our studies that the Most High loves longevity. If you're there with him for a short time and you with him for all that time, that's a good thing. If you're there with him for a long time and you turn going astray, you're going to suffer the consequences. We've learned that. So it's best to stay steady, to have a steady spirit. We always talk about that, Cartrell. We always said at the end of this show, pray for a steadfast spirit. That's much more advantageous for you than anything. King Dawood had it. And you may say to yourself, well, he took Bathsheba and he sent Uriah out there and got him killed. And he did some other stuff too. Well, that may very well be true. But here's the deal about King Dawood, since you want to talk bad about the king, my king, is that the mistakes he made, he was man enough to own up to them. He didn't blame her, him, them, or the other, just like they do in this so-called modern, and just like you probably done in your own personal life. Blame everybody but yourself. He took ownership of his mistake. He accepted his shortcomings. And he immediately went to Yah and apologized and repented back, and he didn't do it no more. He didn't put no more Uriahs out there. He didn't take no more Bathshebas. So before you get to knocking the key player or play it, make sure you got your own life together, okay? So don't be knocking King Dawood, okay, saying what he did. Like, King Dawood has some skeletons, and he even had them in the closet. Like, you got Forest Hill Cemetery in yours, and you ain't trying to clean nothing up in your closet, okay? So don't be trying to knock the king. Like I said, he has some skeletons, but he didn't even have them hidden away in the closet. He even talked about it, okay? So that is a steadfast spirit. It didn't say he didn't make mistakes, but he owned up to his mistakes. It didn't say he didn't have shortcomings, but he owned up to his shortcomings. He didn't blame Tom, Dick, and Harry and Harriet. He accepted responsibility for his actions. He went to Yah and asked Yah to forgive him, and then he didn't do it again, unlike some of us. Go ahead, Katria.
It is a steadfast spirit in the story we just read.
Exactly.
Do you know how long he lived?
47 years.
130 years.
You're talking about Jehoiada. I thought you were talking about the king. You're right. There was a steadfast spirit in that story, and I had to concur with Cartier, the high priest, Jehoiada, 130 years. That's steadfast, brothers and sisters. That's steadfast.
130 years. And after he died, everything changed. It showed you the power and the spirit that he has.
Exactly.
So if you do right by Yah, you can have impact on many people, which the high priest Jehoiada did. And he did what was good, what was right for the nation, not just for himself. Most of my people don't even know who this high priest was, Jehoiada, high priest. Who is this guy you talk about? Oh, he put the nation at peace for what? At least 40 years. And he had to work with a young king, 7 years old.
Exactly.
And he was successful because he did that which was right and pleasing in Yah's eyesight. You're talking about a priest guiding a king against nations, hostile nations, the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Philistines, Canaanites. But he got to guide this king who's guiding the nation. Because this young king, his word, it means so much, even though he's young.
Exactly.
But he guided him for 40 years, and everything was good.
Exactly. Certainly was, Cartrell. Under that steadfastness, everything was good. And a few people, a little bit of people beat a strong nation at that time. Those Syrians beat the brakes off of us, okay? So,
yeah.
Numbers don't mean nothing. If Yah want to get at you, he going to get you. And you think
and all
you
that
have,
Jehoshaphat right. had built up, they mean nothing under King
right.
Joash.
Well, if you think,
most people are afraid.
Well, contrary, if you think an AK-47 or anything else can save you from Yah, you're sadly mistaken, okay? If you don't follow within the guidelines of the rules, you are sadly mistaken. Okay? All right, Katria.
How about the princes that had the gall to set the king up to go the wrong path, and then they put their hands on him to kill him?
What did I say, Katria?
This man
you
was anointed.
To turn me out. You dropped a bomb on me.
Listen.
What did I tell you?
Look what happened. You didn't notice what happened. These men set a righteous king up to go evil, right?
Exactly.
And then they turned on him and killed him.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
And the Most High brought immediate judgment on them. Immediate. Immediate. You can't kill the anointed of Yah.
Exactly.
That's what King David was saying all along. I can't kill this man. He's the anointed of Yah.
In his bed, Cottrell. They murdered the man in his bed.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Anointed of Yah. And they didn't think they were going to pay for that?
And people, hey, Cottrell, but you had women involved with it, too. You had the Amnitesis and the Moabitesis. Those are women, okay, involved in this murder. Not only men were involved in the fact, you had women involved in this murder, too, okay?
All the conspirators, they paid the price.
Exactly.
You can't put your hands on the Most High's anointed. We say, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. The people ain't listening to that because they were smacking prophets, throwing prophets in jail, killing prophets. Most High said, what? Don't do my prophets harm. What? Smacking these niggas.
Yeah. Yeah, but look here.
Are you touching Yah's anointed, the priest and the king? Oh, just don't understand the code.
I tell you what, Cartrell, that's why these studies are essential to one development and growth and steadfastness. You must, it is essential, it is imperative that you must study, then study, then restudy, then study that. It should be a lifetime pursuit. That's why we tell you on the Real Talk for Real People show, you would never graduate as long as you're studying with us. Cottrell and I, we've never graduated. We don't even look for a graduation date. It doesn't stop till the casket drops. Because this should be, you're doing this so it things become second nature to you. You know right from wrong, good from evil. You know why you know? Because you study to know. You just don't feel, oh, I just feel that's evil. No, you know that's evil. And you know that's good. Okay? You know what evil is. The Most High left you in his righteousness, not yours. Now, they may be walking with the flag. That's their righteousness. That's not your righteousness. That's evil. Because they taking advantage of the flag and marching along with it. And talking about their sexual orientation. Now, under the codification of this nation, that's all right. That's legal. But what does Yah say about it? And what does Yah say at them claiming his flag in that regard for a contract he made with mankind? How do you think he feels about it?
So what is the Most High perception of sexual orientation?
You better believe it. You better believe it. And he left indications for that. Man should not lie with man. He should be wearing female clothes and a vice versa. There would be no RuPaul. Okay? Most High don't play that. Animals got more sense than we do.
Don't leave Tyler Perry out of that.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't be no Madea. And most actors, Most actors, that they get you. They get you with their money, and then they got you wearing dresses. As they did Wesley Snipes. They ain't got Denzel. Denzel got good sense. But these actors, they get up that don't know y'all, and they see them dollars.
Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, David Chappelle. David Chappelle almost lost his mind. He almost lost his mind. Then they got the little young rapper, Young Nash, whatever his name is. They see the money, man, and they sell out. Because they don't know good from evil. And you know why they don't know good from evil? Because they don't study Yah's righteousness. They go by what the United States of America says what right is. What's okay. And look at their lives, universally speaking. A hot mess. And they're busy doing milk crate challenges, Cartier. They're busy doing milk crate challenges.
Yeah.
That's all important. It's too important. See, real talk, real people show, oh, no, don't listen to that Cartier. That suit talking about that. We got the milk crate challenges. We're busting them in. That's more important. Cartier and Soup talking about the flag. Who they think they are? That's our flag. Well, how's your flag? You just stole it from somebody. To apply to your sexual orientation. How does your flag? When it was given as a sign and significant, I'm not going to destroy the earth no more by flood universally. Oh, yeah, that's regional flooding, but the whole world, I ain't going to do that more. I got something else for you. I got a little firewall for you. So now, you got to go for y'all. You march right on up to him with that flag and see how that's going to work out for you, okay? Don't get mad at Yum Soup. Don't get mad at Katya. You take that flag and march right on up to y'all. And see how this is going to work out for you. Talking about your orientation. And the United States of America said it's okay. All right. They righteousness. That ain't y'all's righteousness. That's their righteousness. Let's see how it works.
So, y'all too.
Yeah.
The rainbow is one of the most beautiful things in creation that man sees. We always in awe when we see a rainbow, right?
Beautiful. Gorgeous.
The beauty of rainbow is the beauty of Yah's mercy, because what's connected with that rainbow is a covenant. He said, I would not destroy the whole earth with the flood. Because you can see when Yah is flooding, and there's a lot of flooding going on in the earth, not worldwide, but when floods hit, like that Tennessee flood, it's devastating, right? What is it devastating? And because of Yah's love of the life that he created, saw how devastating floods are. So the rainbow is the beauty of Yah's mercy. And for them to pervert it into the Sodom and Gomorrah a symbol is an effrontery to the Most High.
And they know that, Katria.
Yeah.
And they know that. That's why they want you to lead the parade with that flag. Okay? They know that. That's what
so it has nothing to do with the covenant that Yah made with the living in the earth. It has to do with perversion.
Yeah.
Due to the agenda. No, Yah already chose that. Yah already chose that before you was born, before he placed you in your mother's womb. He already chose your agenda.
Exactly.
You may not like it, but that's what it is. Because a woman will never have sperm, and a man will never have eggs.
No, he'll never have a womb, neither.
That is biological.
It's true, Cartrell. It's true. Well, Cartrell, fellow students, it's always a pleasure to discuss the word of Yah and the extenuating circumstances as a result of it. And that flag is the extenuating circumstances. Okay? And we should see the end result playing around with it. I assure you, we shall see the end result of that. Cadrell, we're all ears. Another beautiful song. of our kingdom.
Yes, sir. No doubt. Mm-hmm. So we got that's part of our treasure. Our music is our treasure. We treasure the lyrics and the music of King David. Even though we're not hearing the melody, even though we're not hearing the string instruments and the pipes, the words, the lyrics are what are impactful. It's the reverse today. People get caught up in the beat and ain't listening to the lyrics. And the lyrics are just terrible. So we give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for his plan, for his mercy, for his loving kindness, for his creation of our King, King David, who was a wise king, a faithful king to Yah, and he had the ability to transmit and transform and translate his words to us, that we can reconnect to our creator, not just the children of Israel, but all mankind. So we're in Psalms number 67. Praise Yah, give thanks.
Hallelujah.
May Elohim show us favor and bless us. May he truly show us favor. Are we worthy of Yah's blessing and favor? Are we worthy? And in his mercy, he blesses us and he shows us favor, even in our shortcomings. And we should be thankful. Let your ways be known among all the nations of the earth, which is why we have the Real Talk, Real People show.
Right.
Let Yah's ways, Yah's words be known. Not just to Israel, but to all nations of the earth. Because Yah is the king. He's the creator. He's the ruler. And he's given us codifications. Not just Israel, but all mankind. Of what is good and what is evil.
If you don't know, now you know.
No doubt. Along with your deliverance, we are receiving our deliverance from Elohim. Not from religions and isms and schisms and ideologies of men. We going straight to the source, the original source. Only Yah can deliver you. Let the people thank you, Elohim. This is what I said. For his mercies, for his blessings, for his favor. We need to be thanking Yah because he's definitely patient and merciful with us, even with our shortcomings. Let the people thank you, Yah, every day for the life, the breath, for the experience of life, for introducing us into your creation, which we don't want to leave because we don't want to die. We love your creation. Yes, thank you. Let all the people thank you. Everybody should thank Yah. Yah giving you privy to his creation. It's a privilege to be introduced to Yah's creation. Because where do we come from? Where do we come from?
Exactly.
Yeah. Where do you come from?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Where you come from?
You came from nothing into something, which is Yah's creation. As a matter of fact, like they say that you have billions of sperm that try to make that egg, right?
Exactly.
You were the one that made it out of the billions that try to get there.
You're exceptional in that sense.
Oh, yeah.
You are exceptional. In that sense, that you fought against all odds, and you reached the egg in your mother's ovaries.
Yes.
Yep.
How many sperms try to make it?
Thousands. Thousands.
Oh, more than that. Billions. You're talking about billions. Billions. Mm-hmm. And you made it.
You made it. You are an exceptional individual in that sense of the word.
And, yeah, they say that's scientific. So you could go look it up in science.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
How many sperms try to make it to that egg? And how many sperms make it into the egg? Only one.
They tell me, out of all those sperms, in this sense, and I'm not being rather comical, those other brothers, sisters, sperm and yours, they were struggling upstream.
Yeah.
And you were backstroking. You were floating and backstroking. Y'all lie? Y'all lie? Y'all tired? And you just backstroking. You were meant to be. You were meant to be. Hey, Cottrell. I fulfilled the post for Gregory. I always post to let him know the contents of the show, and I failed to post it yesterday. And Gregory, he was all right. He was all incensed over the fact that we hadn't posted the show. So I left a message for his mother, Bree. I said, Bree, dear Mr. Gregory, Soup was lagging behind. Hey, Bree laughed at it because he just looked at his mama and shook his head and said, Soup. I said, that's why I told Abigail, that's why you don't let your little children be raised around old folk. They act just like them. Gregory think he being your age. He shook his head. He said, Bree, hey, Kaji, he said, Bree couldn't do a break out of that. Said, Soup sent a message that he saw her. He just looked at his mom and shook his head. He hanging out too much with us, man.
When young Gregory go to school, he gonna scare his teachers.
Yeah. He is gonna scare him to death. He probably already. He hang out too much with you and me, Cottrell. You know what I mean? Man. All right, Cottrell.
Yeah. Right. One young brother hanging out with me, one of my young cousins.
Right.
He's a pilot now, man.
Right.
A pilot. He learned how to fly. So you don't even know the potential of these young people and what influence and what, you know, vibration and strength they get from us.
Exactly.
It's like Yehoiada, the prophet, gave King Yoash some strength while he was alive.
Exactly.
So,
and I'm sure with Gregory that you can't run nothing past that don't make sense, okay?
Not at all.
You can't run nothing past. If it don't make sense to him, it ain't going to make it. He's been around you and I for going on a couple of years now. When he was a little fella, and he's still a little fella, but he's been influenced by virtue of the conversation, what he's hearing, and it's constructive to him. He know right from wrong, not because he feel like it. He know it because of his study by what he hear. He has said, no, that ain't right. Soup Cottrell said, that ain't what y'all said. Y'all said, you could be taking the flag, talking about this and that, the other. The flag is for y'all don't make everybody drown on the earth at one time. That's what that flag for. That ain't for that. I bet he know that, Cottrell. Okay?
Well, he's got so much on the rest of the population because, you know, children at age are sponges. They like tape recordings. They pick up everything that they hear, that they see, that they taste, that they smell. They're like sponges. What we're giving young Gregory and young people out there that's listening is common sense and integrity that's missing in the world.
Exactly.
And when they pick up on that, it's going to give them spiritual, mental, and physical strength.
Exactly. And that's why he shook his head in disappointment at me yesterday.
You ain't on point.
I was lying. I said it. I accepted ownership. I sent a message. And that was good enough for Mr. Gregory. I called him Mr. Gregory. That was good enough for Mr. Gregory. He shook his head in disappointment at me, Kadri.
Gotta do better, Elder. You gotta do better.
Yeah, I gotta be on my game because I don't want Gregory shaking his head in disappointment with my efforts. Okay.
Gotta practice what you preach, my man.
I forgot, man. I have so much going on. And I told Abby, I said, tell Bree, if she don't see that, set something to me on Facebook, and I post it. I said, because sometimes I get something going on, my lung, the lung man, to come by the house, he had to change out one of the cameras and whatnot. And then it slipped my mind. I took a nap. So when I come up out the nap, I'm going right into the show. I forgot about it. And Gregory didn't forget about it. All right. Godrell, do you have any closing comments, my brother?
I just want to testify that the Most High is good. Most High loves us. He's been with us since ancient times. And the balance of our relationship with the Most High are the things that we choose. And we're reading it in these chapters of the histories of our fathers. We had the opportunity to do what was good and be successful. And then we see where they turn left. We gotta avoid turning left with all the influence that's around us. We have to be fearless with all the fear that's being trying to pump in us, because they know that's one of our weaknesses. The Most High is with us. He sees everything. He knows everything. And all we have to do is turn to him. Once we learn that, we will be a powerful people, just like we're reading about in these chapters of the books of Chronicles.
And I would concur with you on it. And I don't have anything. That was exceptional. And all that need to be said in closing. Cartrell and I, we don't know much, but we do know this for certain. We know our studies, what Yah says. We know righteousness is the righteousness of Yah, not the righteousness of nation, not self-righteousness. We know that. And we do know that you're getting ready to get out of here. You've been listening in these studies to the Real Talk for Real People Show, my dear brother and friend from New York City, prison New York, me from prison Memphis, Yom Tov. We love you. Come on back tomorrow and study right along with us. Check this out. As a matter of fact, we said and we recommended at every study session that you get your new spirit, a steady spirit, steadfast. Just like King Joahaz didn't have a steadfast spirit. When the high priest Jehoiada passed on, he got unsteady and it cost him. Get a steady spirit, just like King David had. That's why the Most High said he was a man after his own heart, and a heart that loves the Most High. You must love the Most High with all of that heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength. In addition to that, you must love your brothers and sisters as yourself. And you got to learn to love yourself. Okay? And thirst after righteousness. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.